Okay, Mayor, let's hit it.
All right, if I could have your attention, please, and if everybody would give me your attention. Again, I would like to thank Senator Reeves and Representative Hale and all the representatives of TDOT for coming out and meeting with us today and being here and listening to our concerns. And thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to ask this time if Senator Reeves would come and if he would introduce the TDOT representatives. And please allow them to complete their information and finish talking. And afterwards, we'll get to the question. Let's try to keep this in as much order as we can, and it'll go better. Thank y'all. Senator Reeves.
Thank you, Mayor. Crazy Tennessee weather, isn't it? Yesterday to today. Folks, I'm your new senator as of the end of last year. I'm new in this position, but honored to do it and honored to be here with Representative Hale today. I mean, it's our job to be your voice, you know, and to be your liaison between the state of Tennessee, if it's part of education, if it's health care, if it's TDOT, whatever. We need to be your voice. And so we're honored to be here to get this conversation started today. So you want to say a word or two?
Thank you, Senator Reeves. It's an honor for both of us to be here today, and both of us want you to know that Cannon County is very important to us. This is home to me. It's not just a place on the map. This is home. When you can't get any more country than living on Hog's Foot, Tennessee. Some people don't even know where that's at. But so this is personal for us, and we're here. Each one of us are a voice for not just a certain group of people, but for the district that we represent as a whole. So we're here to be your voice and address these concerns. But I also want you to know that we have a great working relationship with TDOT, and so we're thankful that they take the time to come out and to hear the concerns. And I'm thankful a Friday morning at 10:30, and it's cold outside. May not have had this many if we knew we was going to be outside, but we're thankful that you're concerned enough about your community to be here and to address these concerns. So thank you so much, and may God bless you.
Thank you, brother. So I think at this time, Joe, if we could, I know you've got a lot of members of your team. I don't know if you're going to introduce all the members of your team, but very much appreciate you being here today. I think the plan is he's going to give a little bit of an overview of how we got here. And maybe just to touch a little bit on what the projects we'll look at right here. And then I think after you've done that, take some questions. And then after we've done that, then we can talk about next steps moving forward.
Yeah, pull in a little closer to your mic.
All right. Can you hear me now? All right. So bottom line, I'm about to introduce TDOT. And he's going to give us an overview on where we've been, where we are. And then I think collectively we can talk about where we're going to go, okay? So, Joe, appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hale.
Reeves, I'm sorry. Okay. Representative Hale, thank you. A little background on this project. I hope you all can hear me out there, because I want to ask Robert Harville to come up here in a minute and talk about where we're at on the construction side of it. But back in May of 2018, we met out here, not with quite this large of a crowd.
There you go.
Thank you. So not from this quite large of a crowd, but we met out here with Senator Capote. We talked about various things that were going on at this intersection. They asked us to look at a number of things. First was a traffic signal. Second was to conduct a speed study to look at the speed limit with people traveling out here. Third was to look at some new pavement markings. And then fourth was to look at an alternate intersection design, or what we call a J-turn, to help eliminate some of the crash issues. We did look at the signal warrant back in 2018. It did not warrant for a traffic signal. We did the speed study. I think the average speed was pretty high. I know at that point Senator Cody got with the highway patrol and asked them to monitor out here. We retraced some of the pavement markings that he requested. And then we moved forward to what we call a roadway safety audit. We wrote Senator Cody back a letter in July of 18, basically saying what we have done, what we will do. In October of 2018, we did the initial roadway safety audit and came up with what we call the J-turn. So in October of 2018, we issued that final safety audit report. A copy of it did go to that point, the county officials. And so in June of 2019 is when we sent the final report out. Started the design on it, so we just started the survey and design. Went through various stages of that, what we call a utility review, construction review, things of that sort. And the project was let in last year for about $2.2 million, Robert. About $2.2 million to begin the construction. That's kind of where we're at. In between that, we got some requests to make some modifications to it, basically to help some folks here in this corner here. But I'm going to let Robert come up for a minute and talk a little bit where we're at right now. I do have one display. You want to raise that up, Landon, if y'all want to look at that at some point. It shows the original design. That shows the left turns and then the one that we're looking at right now. And then we'll open up some questions after Robert talks with us. Thank you, Senator. Is that fine?
Again, thank y'all for having us. My name is Robert Harville. I'm the district engineer over nine counties, which includes Cannon County here. So like Joe said, we awarded this to Tinsley Construction. We had a pre-construction conference last December. Work began January 9th of this year with staking, some survey, putting up erosion control measures and that type of stuff. So what you see currently is phase one construction. What we've done is shifted the traffic to the lane one in both directions, and we're working on putting in our erosion control measures and working on the bulb outs. The way a J-turn works, if you look at the diagram here, if you get a chance, you'll go down, you'll make a turn, and for larger trucks, semis, they require larger radius, so we're building bulb outs. There'll be a one on this end and then one on the other end. That's phase one construction. So contractor schedules are somewhat fluid, obviously, with the weather, but sometimes in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we should be moving to phase two. All right. So in phase two, we'll move traffic to the outside, and we'll begin working on the new turn lanes and closing off the intersection 64 and State Route 1. And then sometime, probably beginning of the summer, we'll move to phase three, and that'll be final striping. That's the tentative schedule that we're looking at now. The awarded contract completion date was, get this right, August 1st of 2023 this year. The contractor's current schedule shows them completing sometime in June currently. That's what we're on track for.
Thank you, Robert. So one thing, that's the tentative phases right now. We're going to listen to some of your concerns today. We may go back and look at some of the options that you bring up. But, Senator, I want to turn it back over to you to kind of...
We're going to start the citizens here in this area. So you're going to start the groups? Yeah, the citizens here in this area.
Okay, so we've got it broken into four different groups. The citizens, the emergency personnel, the businesses, and the farmers. Is that right?
And then citizens throughout the county.
So we'll start with the citizens.
We'll start citizens in this area.
So citizens in this area, if you've got specific questions at this time...
should have... If y'all have got a spokesman...
Y'all got a...
I think Nathan, yeah, come on. Nathan Looney, Commissioner, First District.
Thank you, Senator. Nathan Luna, I'm your one of your county commissioners here, and I've been asked by some of the citizens to field some of these questions. First thing I want to do is take a look at this map. And on this map, my understanding is this intersection is going to be concreted off, is that correct?
There'll be a small median, so concreted off is probably, you know, I think you guys are thinking there's going to be a physical barrier there, so we have about a 6-inch high concrete curb across there.
So is it usable?
So, Landon, if you'll come up here, please. So when we did the traffic study, what we noticed is part of the crashes that are out here was people that were trying to go all the way across. They would make it to the median, and then the next move they make, they would get sideswiped or T-boned. So part of a J-turn is to eliminate that accident right there, that crash incident. So they will not be able to go all the way across under either options.
Did TDOT take into consideration the fact we have Westside School over here? Now the school buses are going to have to go out here, take a ride, go all the way down this four lane, make a J turn, and then go all the way down the other side of this four lane to get across. How is that mitigating accidents?
We'll get to the emergency right here in a minute. Let's let Mr. Deering answer this question, please.
He's the bus supervisor, so that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say go all the way down, so it's about going that direction, about 1,900 feet from the intersection down to make that turn. So as you mentioned, they'll come here, they'll merge over into a turn lane just like they're going to turn and then make that U-turn. We have done about 12 of these across the state of Tennessee. This is not our first one. We see somewhere between a 50 and 60% reduction in crashes.
What criteria did you guys come up with to come up with the idea that a traffic light wasn't possible?
So traffic signals are warranted under what's called the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, or the MUTCD. It is a federal document that Tennessee has adopted under the TCA code. There's 9 warrants in there. You have to meet one of those 9 to put up a signal. We look at what's called an 8-hour count. So by state law, on a state route, we're not allowed to put up an unwarranted traffic signal.
Please, everybody.
On a lot of highways through Tennessee. I probably drove more.
Hang on, just a minute. Let this group ask the questions.
I think people are a little frustrated because I didn't really answer the question. What are the 9 criteria? Why didn't we meet that?
So TDOT, first off, putting up an unwarranted traffic signal is more dangerous than putting up the traffic signal because you end up with a lot of rear-end collisions in. So
Why is that?
Why do you end up with a lot more rear-end collisions? Because people are stopping and they don't even need to stop. Look, folks, I appreciate all the questions. If you'll let me answer the question. But I don't know. I'm 231.
Hold on. This has got to be organized,
it's
guys.
He can't hear all these questions.
My house is directly affected by this right here, and you guys showed up 2 weeks ago and cut out my driveway, threatening to send me.
Mr. Deering can't answer all these questions. He's trying, if you'll let him.
Okay, I'll calm down and be quiet.
What are the 9 criteria?
I can't tell you all the 9 off the top of my head. I can tell you the one that TDOT looks at is what's called an 8-hour traffic count. So based off the 8 hours of traffic, there's not enough traffic out here to warrant a traffic signal.
That was 2018.
No, so we just rerun it the other day and it still doesn't warrant.
I don't think so.
It warrants a
$2
million contract.
Hold on. What date was the last one run?
Time of day.
Yeah.
3 o'clock probably.
The last signal or traffic count was done in 2016. However. Yes, but however, I did grow the traffic and grew it 2%, which is a standard growth rate in this area.
Does it take into consideration the people that in McMinnville that drive the road?
Yes, so you do. So as far as your mainline traffic, I mean, there's significant traffic on the main line. The issue and what the warrants look at is your side street. And the side street volumes did not meet the warrants. And that is how we... The side street being 64.
Even with the traffic over here pulling out.
Let's keep it going here.
So the statement is that there's not enough to meet the criteria for a traffic light, then how How did it meet the criteria for a J-turn? This seems to be kind of a new concept y'all are doing.
Patty, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I can try to speak to that. Yeah, you can leave my van in here.
Yeah. Top of the morning, folks. My name is Landon. I'm the traffic engineer out of Chattanooga. And I'll try to explain the rationale for why we selected a J-turn instead of a traffic signal or roundabout or anything else. If you can't put up a traffic signal based on warrants, if it's illegal to install a signal that doesn't meet warrants, then how do you address the angle crash problem? And one of the geometric configurations we've seen across the state and across the nation is this J-turn job where you can't go straight across the intersection anymore. You can turn left or turn right, but you can't go straight across. And if you want to go to the other side of the road, you'll have to, I guess, make a right turn and pull a U-ey and then come back the other way. That helps to reduce the chance of someone having an angle crash. It's proven to work elsewhere in the state. If you've been over toward Overton County in Rickman, Tennessee, there's one up there, and there's one down in Hamilton County. Highway 58 at Birchwood Pike, and there's a plethora of others across the state, probably some closer to where we're at right now, but they're proven to work. There's about a 50-60% crash reduction with this type of configuration. Now, it is probably very foreign to you. You might never seen one of these before, but it works elsewhere. We've had great success with it, and aside from a signal, this is the best way we've come up with to address the problem.
I think it's time to hear from some other groups. I think that Senator Reeves is going to ask a representative from emergency personnel to ask a few questions because we want to make sure we get everybody's different groups' concerns in. So I'm going to turn it over to Senator Reeves.
So I don't know who the spokesman is for the emergency personnel, but I think that's a big deal we're hearing here today. So who wants to talk on behalf of that group?
I'm Karen Ashford. I'm the second district commissioner. And I've gone to school bus for 30 years. I work with 911, so I know a little bit about the emergency services. I'm on the fire department. I have a lot of concern about this because the kids on the school bus, I'm sorry, 50-60% decrease is not enough for me. I don't think that's enough. And I think this, when you did the survey, there's probably a lot more traffic between 4:30 and 6 o'clock at night, because you can't get through town. You can't hardly even turn in town because there's so much traffic backed up in town. It's all the way from the dollar store to McDonald's. And I've seen it every day going to work, so I know what I'm talking about. And I'm sorry, I don't think 50-60% decrease in accidents is enough for this. We're talking emergency as well as our residents and farmers. So we have a lot of concern there.
So can you speak to fire, ambulance, buses?
I am the principal of the school that's over at the end of the road. I just have one question. If you continue on with this J channel, will the merge lanes that come out of these out of 64 this way and that way remain? Well, the merge lanes coming out of 64 remain. I couldn't tell from the thing.
Looks like
and I will tell you the reason for my concern. In the mornings,
there.
I live on 64.
Over here, there is
and there are anywhere from 13 to 15 to 18 cars behind me waiting to come out. So if you have the J channel, we're going to have people backed up in the fast lane because there was no place for them to overflow from 64. So I need to know if that merge lane is going to be the overflow trying to get across. We need to keep those merge lanes there if you're going to continue with what you're doing.
I'm not sure they're long enough.
So who needs to address that?
Get out of the traffic.
So ma'am, what was your question?
I feel like the merge lanes are not long enough for one thing. The buses are going to have a hard time getting in that fast traffic.
The merge lanes
and any other emergency personnel.
I've got one right here.
So for the overflow to be able to get across and get into the J channel.
Who can speak to that?
So you want to talk about that land about the... I can talk a little bit, yes.
Yes, the question about the length of the merge lanes, we'll try to address that for you. Looking back to the west toward Murfreesboro, you've got a bridge to have to deal with that is kind of in your way, and it's a limiting factor on how much we can extend that lane. Without widening the bridge, we're doing the best we can. We're eating up all we can and giving you all we can on that merge lane. Going back toward
the... Will there be a merge lane? I think she's talking
from this road onto that lane to get into the J Channel. Will there be a merge lane created here?
Coming from Bradyville Road, taking a right turn toward Murfreesboro.
Going onto the four lane, out of 64, going south.
That's 64 over there.
Ma'am, I'll tell you what. I think we're. Why don't you come up here and look at the map and point to where you're talking about? Because we do have the right turn lane here.
There is going to be a merge lane there.
Yeah, and then this one here.
But there's not one here. So my buses will be coming out here. We need a merge lane here. We're going to have a merge lane right there.
Okay, we can look at that.
Because if they come down, otherwise they're going to be coming into this, trying to get into the fast lane to make the J turn. I've made J turns in Florida recently. They're okay. But you got to have some merge stuff.
She's the bus supervisor, and I'm the principal.
My bus has come out right here, and we're going to have
some way to get them
to
in
get
there.
Across that.
Keep that in consideration. Yeah. We'll keep that in consideration, sure, okay?
That's the only question I have.
So you're talking about a 50% reduction is not enough.
I don't feel like it is.
Okay, but if we don't do it, there's a 0% reduction.
Well, why can't we do the red light? I don't feel like that would be better.
Well, you'd probably have a higher increase. But again, an unwarranted traffic signal we show increases accidents.
That way. That's ridiculous.
Anybody else from ambulance service, fire department? Let's go to business. Corey Parsley's doing business. Who's the right person talking business? You going to do it?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Matt Klein. I live down Bradyville Road on Bradyville Hill Road. I've got an online business, but I bring trailers and trucks across there quite a bit. So, anyway, first I start by saying I do believe that everybody here, TDOT, everybody, and all the community, we want the same thing in the end. It's just everybody's got a different idea of how to do it. They've been in the business for a long time, and I'm thankful that they're out here trying to do something, because something doesn't need to be done. I've only lived out here about 5 years, and this intersection's awful and dangerous, and people are confused. We just move what we got. I mean, people get stopped up there. Well, yeah, that's what I do understand. There's a lot of moving parts here. I've seen roundabouts work really well all over the world and in this country, and I'm not quite sure why we're just going to keep traffic moving. It slows everybody down, and if you have a wreck, you're going 20 miles an hour, so...
Fire department can't go straight through with the roundabout either.
Well, I mean, you got to pick one. They got to do something. But anyway, one question is the last study was done in 2016, and I know they're going off of a standard increase of 2%. I don't know what that means, but I've lived here for 5 years, and I've seen a huge increase in traffic just in I don't know what the numbers are, so. The 2% just can't be right, can't be enough. Because I just wonder if we could take a little break here, reevaluate the traffic, make sure 100% you know what the numbers are, and we're not going off of 5 years ago and just doing a standard 2% increase. So I don't know. But yeah, I'll let you guys.
So certainly we can come back out here. We can do traffic counts. A couple things we look at when we do them. Mondays and Fridays don't really reflect the traffic that well.
What?
So hang on. So we do them on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We do them for 8 hours. We do them when school's in, so we get the correct count. So if school's out, well, they're usually 12-hour counts. So we usually start peak hour in the morning, which is about 7 a.m., and go to 7 a.m. at night.
I'm here.
25. Okay. I mean, we can adjust the time. You tell me what time you want to adjust it to.
6 to 6.
6 to 6 is fine.
We'll figure that out. You got some.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out.
We'll find out.
That's a good question.
No. I'd like to hear from the ag. Mr. Barker, you going to do that?
Did the businesses get finished?
My name is Mark Barker, and this road that you have designated down here is where I live. When I use this intersection multiple times a day, I'm pulling machinery. or I've got a hay truck that I've got hay. There's other people here that come across. Some of them are at work. I know one guy that uses this intersection a lot is recovering from surgery. So I'm speaking for us. My question is, if I'm coming from Murfreesboro to this intersection, can I make a left turn onto Burville Road and head that way, head to the West Side School? Okay. I have researched J-turns in Mississippi and Minnesota, and they allow a left turn from both directions, but they spread the left turns out. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And it seems like the Mississippi J-turn would be an improvement over what you have designed here now, where you'd have to go way around, especially for, and it's the same thing for trailer trucks. It's the same thing for rock trucks, how that, if you would, and lengthen, it does need some help. It needs to be lengthened, the merging lane, both directions. We've got a tiny merging lane over there, and nobody uses it. It needs to be four times that long, and go all the way as close as you can to the bridge. I wish that the U-turn could be on this side of the bridge. And could it?
Could.
So that's, if you talk about that, and I think these people are back here answering too, to make that and get over in time to do that, you want to give them time to get over here. So that would be an awful short period. Now, again, you're talking about a left turn this way.
Yes.
All right.
And the Mississippi plans that I've looked at allow that.
Do you really want to follow Mississippi?
What? if you're right.
So the left turns and the crosses, when you have to make, so if you allow that left turn, you're still going to allow that movement cross. We can certainly look at what Mississippi's doing and take that consideration as we pause for a short period and start looking at things you guys bring up here.
The school
buses and the ambulance coming out of Woodbury. If it's going to help somebody at Curley, at Burt, at Bradable, there's a lot of communities up there, and they need to be there as fast as they can. The same with the fire department. So that's the pleasure of the lowered curb here. So right now we can make it even lower. We can make it 4 inches, and we can allow the emergency vehicles to cross it. So
if you're riding an ambulance, you don't want to go over.
If you're running an ambulance, you don't want to cross and get hit either. Remember, they're emergency vehicles.
We good? John, you want to make a comment?
Well, there had been some concern about some of our one-lane county roads being used as a bypass, particularly Lassiter Road, South Barker Road, and Hoover Road, which are one-lane county roads. The biggest concern is an exponential increase in traffic on those roads as people avoid an intersection that maybe they're not familiar with or just rather not maneuver. So a concern there on those and meeting someone else on a one-lane county road. Would you address that?
You know, drivers going to make their own decisions. I have to say that. But I know this is going to be, it's a learning curve. We've seen them across the state, the 12 that we've put in. Once the local communities get used to it, you don't see the bypass as much anymore. In the beginning, you might see a little.
One more comment.
Just one more comment over here on the business side here. I appreciate you saying that you will go ahead and just try another traffic count here and see if we get an accurate depiction of what's going on. But one thing too is just, I would think to get something accurate, we'd have to clean up. I mean, get the lanes open back up so we get traffic flowing normal again and find out what's going on exactly. Because I don't know, is that kind of what you were thinking, or keeping barrels up? And
so to do it, we'll go ahead and do it. We have ways to adjust that through computer programs. The traffic's still going to move the same way. We come out here and manually count it. We don't set up so we can do it. Sharon, Karen, do you want to talk to that any? Yeah. So we can take the barrels down. I mean, people take what we got to leave the construction signs up right now.
Well, appreciate that. And also, you know, when you guys are thinking about reworking this whole area, though, I mean, thinking down the road 5 years, 8 years, I don't know what future is going to be for you know, businesses, you know, one of these days, I don't know who owns land around here, but this corner right here may become something. I mean, there's eventually this area will grow up and catch up more. I don't know how far out, but we need to, I know a lot of people don't like that, but it is inevitable, and if this thing is stretched out as far as it is, I just don't, it seems like it takes up a lot of room. I don't know, I like roundabouts, but nobody listens to me. My wife does sometimes, but anyway. But anyway, I don't think any of you guys want to address that, just future and what you're thinking.
So when we do any project, we project traffic out. So usually an intersection like this, we project it out 5 years. If we're doing a road widening, it's projected out 20 years. So we do look at projections. You know, you're talking about a roundabout footprint is fairly large for a road like this, a four-lane divided highway. So putting a roundabout in here, we probably won't be standing here anymore. So they have very large footprints, so it's going to have a huge impact to the folks on all four corners.
I think the quarry would like to make a comment.
Yeah, I'm here representing Blue Water across the street, and we just were curious if it was taken under consideration, the amount of trucks that actually turn left out of here that are going to be coming out, 74,000 pounds, crossing traffic, making a U-turn. I mean, that can't be much, that can't be considered safer.
Yes, sir. So one of the original design did include that left turn. If Landon's pointing at the top there, we made, again, that's an option we can go back looking at. You know, the trucks were considered in that original one.
I do appreciate you wanting to talk about some different options and considering some different things. Is there somebody that you're going to be talking to and communicating with, just so everybody, you know, so there's no question that things are being looked at and there's communication between the county and what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. I think the senator is going to put together some folks here to contact TDOT. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
You're going to put some folks together from each committee to work with.
So the plan is after today is we're going to take some of the voices here today, get with TDOT, and come up with a plan moving forward. I wanted to hear everybody's comments today. Jim, you want to say something?
I'm Jim Bush. I was a county commissioner out of the 3rd District, Woodland Community, and I was at the meeting when Mr. Pody told us at the time, Miss Ashford, you were on the commission at the time. Greg, was you there on the commission? We've got some other markup. You wasn't on it. But when all this was started and brought up, it was because of the big trucks. The big trucks is causes a problem. They cannot get up to speed when they make their turns. You have some people that will not yield to them. That's where we get a problem. Now, when Mr. Pody came before the county commission and told them what the state was offering at the time, now everything that I'm telling you that went on in the meeting is in our public records, and you can get a copy of what was said. Mr. Pody come before us. He informed us that it was going to cost $300,000 to put a red light up. That was too much money. That was what he said. So I asked him, I said, okay, so you're putting $300,000 to a light.
Sure.
Right? And then Mr. Pody said, he says, by all fairness, he said, if the county wanted to change this intersection, the county would have to pay for it ourselves, not the state. And I said, well, the state made the problem. It's up to you to fix it, because we didn't have this problem until y'all redesigned the roads. So it rocked on after that, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody heard a word from the state at all, unless you would call Chattanooga, get a hold of the engineer, and he would tell you something of what was going on at the time. My biggest problem now with the state did not get a hold of the county commission. They did not communicate with our highway department and our board of directors of the highway department to let them know what was going on, and besides the people of Cannon County. Now, the state is supposed to communicate with their people. I don't care what division it is. And I feel that the people in this area was left out totally. All the decisions that was made, the state took it upon themselves to do the decision making without talking to the people that are involved, the highway department and the county commission. At any time, the county needs to be notified, which in the past, and I've sat on the board for 24 years, anything that the state highway department has ever done, they've always come before the county commission and discussed what was getting ready to happen, or they were thinking about doing anything. That's the only bad thing about this whole situation, that nobody was notified until the last minute when the shovel hit the ground. So, thank you, and y'all have a good evening.
Can you respond to that at all?
Yes, sir. I can't speak for Senator Pody, but I can tell you that when we met out here, we invited both the county mayor, the county road and superintendent, and your regional planning organization coordinator. Nobody showed up. When we had the right-of-way field review, utility field review, we invited both of them again. No one showed up. We had the constructability review. We invited them again. No one showed up.
How about the landowners?
What about the landowners? Highway department here. Anybody from highway? Wayne, Terry, or
Wayne, Jimmy, they're over here.
Anybody want to comment from the highway department?
Yeah. There was a different administration in the county executive's office at that time, and I can't speak for them, but you see how many people that Greg Mitchell has got here today. If y'all had done your due diligence, we would have had a better feeling in the community, because you had a meeting in 2016, 17, 18, whenever it was, you'd have still had this many people here if you're talking about this intersection, because it's very congested late in the afternoon, early in the morning. The school is right down the road. The fire department's right down the road. Ambulances, they come down this road, they want to turn left and go to Brayville. I live close enough to tell when they come go to Murfreesboro, when they turn and go to Brayville. A lot of times they go to Brayville. And so I feel like that we need to put this on a pause and make it a little bit more accessible for people that are on highway. That's 64 there now. This is just called Brayville Road. See, this is a county road again. Now, see, when the county has got this road, and it's going to be it's going to be torn all to pieces by the traffic.
I'm Jonathan Figg. I'm a county attorney here. I just had a couple of questions, real questions. Actual questions here, just two. When was this plan right here, the final plan, made? When was this made?
So this top one with the allowed the left turns were the original plans, and I think you actually wrote a letter saying the county is agreeable with that.
We wrote it.
He doesn't speak for the county. He's the lawyer. He doesn't speak for the county.
The bottom plan is the new plan, correct?
So that was the original. So we had some concerns about the left merges here, so we decided to change this. And I think that's what you wrote us about. Is that not correct?
Correct. So this original plan, when did it change from this original plan to this plan?
I believe it was October or September of last year.
And this original plan, does it allow you to cross 64 and get onto 70?
So this original plan allows for left turns. It doesn't allow going straight across.
Was the county notified of the change that became this new plan? And how was it notified?
So when this was done, it was after we had a lot of the coordination with the county.
But when we did the construction, the pre-construction meeting, again, the county was invited, and I don't believe they showed up.
Okay. Was there a reason that no public hearing was conducted?
Typically, on these projects of this size, these safety improvements, we don't do because it was initiated in the beginning, you know, in 2018 out here. So we typically, for the safety projects, signalized projects, we don't do public meetings.
One more question. I know you typically don't do them, from what you've said, but after all the comments that you've heard here today, are you willing to have a public hearing on any resulting plan that you have?
We're willing to listen to the public through Senator Riggs. We have a safety problem out here. We have to address that safety problem.
Thank you.
So I think we've had a public hearing today. Been a lot of good feedback from lots of different groups, business and ag and emergency, and I think you've heard that we've got to work on this. Very much appreciate you being here, and the commitment will be we'll pull together kind of the original group, folks that want to be involved, set up some meetings, look at our options moving forward. And Mayor, you want to close us?
I will, and what I'd like to say is, and I believe with all my heart, that everybody here is here for the best for the citizens of Cannon County. I believe they want the best. I think there's your heart's in the right place, ain't no doubt about it. You love this county and you love the people. And I honestly believe with all my heart that TDOT is here to help. And I believe they'll help. I believe Senator Reeves and Representative Hale here. I thank all of them for coming. And we ought to thank them for coming and listening to our concerns and going back to the table and looking at it and just for listening. I think the businesses here are amazing. I think the people in Cannon County are amazing. And I think y'all are great, and I think your heart's right. And I appreciate y'all coming, and I know they appreciate you coming too. And thank y'all, Mr. Deering, thank you. You and your staff, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for listening to us and going to sit down with us, and maybe we can come out with what's the very best for this county. That's the end result. That's the end result for everybody's heart here, is to come to a conclusion that is best for every, not just some citizen, but every citizen. And I know Rob and all of them wants the best too for here. And I thank you for that. And we work together. We get way more done working together than we will pulling apart, y'all, and arguing. So thank y'all for coming, and thank y'all for being here. Appreciate y'all.
I have a question.
People besides businesses, they have questions.
Well, you want to talk to him in one-on-one?
No, I just have a question. Will y'all suspend construction while all this is being considered?
We still have work we have to do out here. We're going to listen to your comments, but we have to fix the safety problem. All right.
So you're going to go ahead with everything?
No, ma'am, we're not. So there's some work that they have to do, and I'll let Robert talk to that. We still just have to do out here. All right. But we've got to get this meeting with the people that the senator selects here done quickly.
Yeah, we need to have that meeting like maybe the next week or so. Okay. You want to comment on her things that have to be done immediately? Do you understand what you're saying?
Right. So, like Senator Reeves said and Representative Hale, we're going to expedite the meeting between anybody that from the county and y'all, and we'll meet internally with TDOT. If there's any design changes or whatever, things that we can incorporate, they need to be expedited because there's things that we have to do. You know what I'm saying? If they issue any revisions or any of that type of stuff, we, you know, we're going to continue to work, but we're not going to do anything without, you know, knowing where we're going.
Okay, folks, we're dismissed at this point. Thanks for coming out.